From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at CheeseheadTV.com. We are joined on our live chat by our live blog guru, Jamie Snowden, and Cheesehead TV marketing director, Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later tonight, we'll be joined by Tim Graham, who covers the Bills for the Buffalo News, to break down this week's showdown in Buffalo. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers
playing at an insanely high level.
James Starks
adding another dimension to the run game.
The offensive line
paving the way and protecting the QB.
And we got the bad. We got Micah Hyde.
Dude.
Tremont Williams.
Dude.
Brad Jones.
Dude.
And we got the ugly. We got Sam Shields,
who may or may not have still been in the concussion protocol on Monday night. Because, man, that was ugly. How you doing, Corey?
I'm good. We got a special promo.
Special promo in the his house.
We got a giveaway. Okay,
this is very exciting. We do, man. We give stuff away.
We just give stuff away all the time. People give us stuff because we're Cheesehead TV.
And then we go, yo.
And then we go, yeah, this is Packer fans need
this. Let us distribute.
So,
the goodness.
If you want to win, they're on the feed, on the homepage, there's some Lambo blueprints.
Blueprints of Lambo.
They're pretty cool. They're pretty interesting. I like them. And you can see it on the feed. And in order to win that, you need to tweet this. I'm watching Packer Transplants Live on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by the great Wisco Disco Beer,
baby. Come on now.
We're going to drink that while you guys tweet it. And whoever wins gets a, we'll find out, we'll DM you on Twitter, and I'm going to ship some Lambo Field blueprints.
You can make your very own Lambo. That's kind of what this, you know, you get your own blueprints set up, you get your materials, and then boom.
Now what would be really cool,
maybe not,
is if you, like, have you seen the Lambo Lego?
Yeah. Yes.
That's the pretty, one, there's a health, awesome. There's a hospital that has like the full.
The whole, yeah.
Bell and Health, I think, actually.
I believe so. That would make sense.
That's really cool.
Very cool.
I would like that for the studio, actually. So if anybody wants to buy that for Christmas for us for the studio.
There you go. Christmas gift ideas for Cheesehead TV.
From Bell and Health. We'll take it.
Absolutely. And then it appears on the show, and Bell and Health is like, wait a second.
What's happening here?
So Packer news, baby. Packer news. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Rodgers. It seems every week he's setting NFL records. This past week, he set an NFL record for the most passing yards through 100 career starts. Most passing yards through 100 starts. Better than Favre, better than Marino, better than Elway, better than anybody through 100 starts. Most passing yards. That is redonkulous, ladies and gentlemen.
It's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
And he's not even technically speaking. As we discuss, he's the, according to quarterback record, he's the best quarterback. But according to yards, not so much.
Oh,
you for mean, the season.
For the season, right.
Which
not,
I find
he's
interesting.
He's not leading the league.
It's something I find interesting that I told you. I do believe this Packers team is the ultimate team.
Ultimate team.
Team.
As in contributions from so many different areas.
Yeah, because when you look at the rankings, right?
Right.
Look at Jordy wide receivers.
Right.
Jordy Nelson is in the top 10. He's like 6 or 7, right, in passing yards, but he's not right up there at the top. Eddie Lacy, he's like 9, I think, in rushing yards. Aaron Rodgers, like if you don't do quarterback rating, you do everything else or just yards, he's like 6 or 7, right? We don't have a sack leader that's like tops a Reggie White in the NFL. Right. We've got Clay, we've got Mike Daniels, we've got, you know, Julius Peppers, we've got everybody mixing it up. Don't have one guy doing interceptions. Don't have one. It's the team.
Lots of teams.
It's the team. It's a lot of team. It's a lot of team scoring touchdowns. I like it.
And it's interesting how that was kind of, I mean, the focus this offseason, according to McCarthy, was trying to get as many guys involved, especially on the defensive side of the ball, as possible. I mean, obviously, the offense has always been predicated upon spreading it around, hitting as many receivers as possible, using all your weapons. But now on defense, you've got such a crazy rotation up front and in the secondary that, yeah, it's not a surprise. And I think I agree with your assessment. This is a very well-rounded, very deep team, and they are going to that depth more and more as the season goes on. I mean, you've got Barrington kind of ascending now. I thought he played a bit up and down on Monday night.
Dude, Sam Barrington just came out of nowhere pretty much.
What
is up with that?
He's playing well. He gets a little lost in coverage. He still takes some false steps in the run game, but he's playing well. And you love it when he hits a guy. Barrington hits people, which you got to enjoy. Speaking of hitting people, people get hit and then they get injured. Eddie Lacy, it wasn't announced during the game, but he did suffer a hip injury, according to McCarthy afterwards. And Tuesday, Mike spoke. He said he's not concerned with Eddie Lacy's hip injury. But it was great to watch James Starks salt that game away.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no, my favorite drive, it actually ended up in a field goal. Mm-hmm. And this was designed, completely designed. I'm telling Matt Weir, who's at my house. We were eating okay. Can I just stop for one second?
You do it, dude. Okay. You do it. Wait. Let me just lay the table.
I'm going to go back to Starks.
I'm just going to lay the table here. Corey Behnke has made an incredible discovery.
Okay.
And a major discovery was made on Monday.
A major discovery. And it actually happened earlier, but this now, dude, onion jam, okay? Onion jam. That's all. That's not all I'm going to say. I wish that's all I could say and that would just explain everything. I am telling you, if you have a bratwurst, okay, a fresh bratwurst on a potato roll, layer of ketchup, layer of Dijon, like nice spicy Dijon, right? Onion jam, and then chili, Wisco chili, which is like typical ground beef, chili, garlic, chili powder, not going crazy like some of my gourmet stuff I'll go crazy with.
Right.
Holy crap, that's the greatest thing I've ever eaten in my life. And I confirmed it because I thought, oh, maybe I'm just drunk. And I thought that was good because I'm watching the Packers.
which you were.
I was.
It was Monday night. You're watching the
Packers. And I confirmed it the next day when I had a leftover of the exact same thing.
Now, this time you were stone cold sober.
Yes. The onion jam. It's all about the onion jam because it's that sweet, savory flavor explosion in your mouth. I can't handle it.
No, there's something.
Onion jam.
There's something to clip and retweet. All right, so.
Okay, Starks.
What does that have to do with Starks and the drive that ended in field
goal? It actually
doesn't.
I just really love Jess.
All right. Your onion jam. I got you.
Right. There was a drive that resulted in a field goal. And I believe from my Twitter feed, it was Starks. Rodgers, I think, ran. Then it was Starks again.
Oh, I remember you tweeted.
Then it was
that.
incomplete. And then it was Lacy. And it started to look really good because it was one of these things where, you know, it's like in Madden when you substitute.
That's for you, Jersey Al.
When your guy's used him a little too much, and his color gets off,
and you're like, oh, yeah. I want to run him again, but he could fumble if he gets hit.
Yeah. So you put Starks in, right?
Yeah, sure.
You run Starks. Yeah. You just make it happen, right?
Yeah,
you go for that mid yardage. You go that short yardage. You just go down the flat. You just do what you need to do, and then Eddie Lacy gets green and he's healthy.
He's ready to truck fumbles.
I thought that was gonna happen, and that was a brilliant. That's Mike McCarthy using his players so brilliantly.
And then I think that was the drive that ended with Eddie Lacy in the end zone, just missing that fade pattern. And Rodgers said on his show this weekend on Tuesday that if he had put it a little bit more outside, Eddie probably catches it.
Yeah.
Eddie still should have had it. But Warlow, the linebacker, made a nice play on it. That would have been sweet. That was shades of Dorsey Levens right there.
Yes.
Although, you know, with Dorsey, it would have been a wheel route. On this one, they just split him out and use him.
This whole team, I honestly think social media does an injustice to football. I'm just going to say that
probably.
Right now.
You're probably right.
Like, if this was 5 years ago, okay, and this team was doing this, granted, we do have XLV, right? We've got, the shadow of XLV is not far from us right now, right?
I hear you.
But are we taking this team for granted?
Yes, absolutely. Look no further.
I even think I'm taking this team for granted.
I do. I absolutely do. I know I do. Look no further than the reaction after the game on Monday night. Look at social media. You're talking about social media. Look at the reaction.
The second half. It was so terrible.
Look at the reaction to the defense. And, you know, like I said, I'm as guilty of it as anyone. But, yeah, absolutely we take the team for granted. They are one of the four best teams in the NFL, and people aren't satisfied.
I mean,
which
this
is fun.
This,
I get it.
This really could be, you know, I think with XO, I think with Super Bowl XLV, the team came up on us, right? We didn't realize how good the team was. They got hot.
Because they weren't.
They went down. Exactly.
To be
and
honest,
they made it happen. You know? They went on the road and they made it happen,
right?
And, right? And so looking back, we're like, wow. But this team in front of us could be the best Packer team in the last 20 years.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely. I agree with
it's
that.
It's insane.
Yes, it is.
It's insane having a James Starks, who, by the way, played in the Super Bowl, and then having an Eddie Lacy
in front of him. Yes. And then, by the way, we
having
haven't even
an
touched,
offensive line
we haven't
come
even
up.
We haven't touched Dwan Harris yet. I'm still all in on Dwan Harris, by the way. Just get him on the field. Just get him some touches. That boy will make something happen. I don't love him as a kick returner, but as a running back, I still think he can do some damage. Speaking of damage and continuing with injuries, Devon House having that shoulder looked at. He didn't participate today. That's concerning. Apparently, they are concerned. While they're not concerned with Lacy, they are concerned with Devon House. He was the only one worth anything on Monday night. They should have gone to him much earlier. Lacy was limited with the hip. Josh Sitton was on the bike. He's nursing that toe injury. I tell you what, though, man, he looked good on Monday night. He looked like he had, I think they mentioned it on the broadcast, he looked like he had some of his explosion back, which is freaking awesome if you're a Packers fan. And then TJ Lang was limited with his knee, but you know, overall, this point of the year, going into week 14, you got to be damn happy to be relatively healthy.
Dude,
everybody's banged up.
Healthy,
but
and
this is relatively healthy.
We can clinch a playoff berth.
Yes, we can. The Green Bay Packers this Sunday need two things to happen. A, they got to take care of their own business. They got to beat the Buffalo Bills. If they do that, and the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Cowboys, the Packers have clinched a playoff berth. As Mike McCarthy says, don't talk about the playoffs until you get to 10 wins. Well, they're at 10 wins, and now they can clinch a playoff berth with a victory and a Cowboys loss. That's pretty sweet. That's what you want. That's what you're playing for. Get in the dance. Get it done, boys.
You know people are going to be like a little too early.
Hey, man, I'm just following Coach. It's Coach's rule. He said 10 wins. Let's go.
I mean,
10 wins, you talk about the playoffs.
There are only three NFC teams that have any that scare me in any way.
Okay.
Okay.
Lay them on me.
Seattle.
Yep.
Detroit.
Yeah, a little bit. I can see it.
And Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, just because I think they could smash the football down.
Exactly.
Yes,
They have that going for them.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they're garbage.
I don't think Des Bryant is garbage, but yeah, I agree that they are the scary team because of the fact that they can.
And Seattle is overrated. Had Mike McCarthy went against the best quarterback in the NFL, maybe that game would have been a little different.
Maybe. Well, so we might get a chance to find out.
But it's going to be in Lambeau.
One week at a time, though. One week at a time.
Lambeau.
Talking about Lambeau, talking about the offense. The offensive line is the whole key to this team playing well on the offensive side of the ball. I know Aaron Rodgers, to his credit, talks about the offensive line as much as he possibly can, whether it's in his press conferences, whether it's in at his locker, whether it's in his show with Jason Wilde. He gives as much credit to that offensive line as he possibly can. I think Mike McCarthy's done a good job of that, but I think we should just add our voices here. That offensive line is playing lights-out football.
It's the difference.
It is absolutely
It's completely the difference.
It allows them to do everything they're doing on the offensive side, and it's interesting because something you'll notice if you watch the tape from not just this week, but the last 3 weeks or so, they've done such a great job of, I guess, repping, because it sure looks like they've given reps to every single guy on the line as far as getting to the second level. Traditionally, you'll see the guards pull and get up to the second level, like do their little double team and then get up to a linebacker. The center will be trained to do that a lot. You rarely see tackles do that a whole lot. You know, teams do it, but this team, that whole first drive, you saw Bakhtiari getting off the end and getting over and picking off a linebacker. They're just doing a great job of getting to that second level, especially early on in games. That helps them build those big leads, and that's, you know, Coast City from there.
You know what that means, right?
Nope.
You know what that means in the playoffs?
What does that mean?
Packers sweep in the playoffs. Guards getting to the second level. Tackles getting to the second level.
I'm all for the Packers sweep. I'm all for the Packers sweep if they run the Packers sweep. Like old school, pull
Why
the guard.
Can't we? Let's do
go
it.
And pick people off man
do
on
it.
Man. If they run the Packer 2014 zone
no,
sweep.
No, don't do that.
Then
don't
I
do that.
I'm going to break something because I hate that.
Play. How badass would it be if they ran the Lombardi sweep?
No, it'd be so awesome. It'd be great. Be great. Also,
it would be amazing.
They pulled out the old U-71. Ran the Jumbo.
Jumbo! Oh, my goodness. Who would you put in Jumbo, though?
I'd probably put...
Who would be that extra guy?
I'd put like Mike Daniels out there or something.
Mike Daniels in Jumbo. And awesome. Julius Peppers as a tight end.
There you go. Why not? And then just like run to that side. I like our chances.
Oh, so many people would be like, man, that's so annoying on social media. That would be amazing. Oh, Mike Daniels and Julius Peppers.
Dude, you just gave me the funniest
idea. In a Jumbo sweep.
Could you imagine Twitter during the Mike Sherman era?
Kidding? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Dude, that would have been...
That is funny.
I mean... Yeah, that would have been, wow. That'd have been bad. That would have been bad.
Wow, because it was pretty bad as it was.
Yeah, it was.
Like, he was the most running, he was the most runningest coach since Vince Lombardi. I
mean, well, he patterned his whole running game off of Lombardi, so it makes sense. But, yeah, that wouldn't have been,
that would have been terrible.
Well, we held our own on CheeseheadTV.com during those formative years.
Yeah, let's not talk about that because somebody just reminded me they listened to an early episode and reminded me that we sounded like NPR.
We did sound like NPR. It was
which
bad.
Which is really scary. I love NPR, by the way. No dig on that.
So we talked about Starks' fresh legs are going to be a big key down the stretch here. You could tell on Monday night. You know, they've had so many games now where Eddie Lacy's been like the primary ball carrier to the point where Starks has barely gotten any work. There was the Minnesota game, I think it was, where Starks had one carry, fumbled, and then didn't get to carry for the rest of the game. It's clear his legs are ready to go, and he provided a nice little burst on Monday night. You got to think, going down the stretch, weather starts turning, get that running game going, you're going to need that. You're going to pound him with Lacy, get him all worn out, and then boom, here comes James Starks with his burst off the edge and his cutback ability. Just a great vision.
And you don't lose anything in pass protection with Starks,
which is... you lose a little bit. A little bit.
To Lacy?
Yes. Oh, Lacy's really improved. Lacy's very much improved, especially since last year.
Jersey L, who decided to watch the show tonight.
Oh, hi, Jersey L.
He says that, Buffalo will be a big test because they have three defensive linemen with over 10 sacks.
Yeah, well...
Look at who Buffalo is
Wait, hold up. Hey, they shut down Peyton Manning last week pretty good. It was the Denver running game that did the damage. So we'll talk about that with our guest, Tim Graham, with the Buffalo News. Great guy. You really should check out his work this week because he really knows his stuff, covers the Bills like a blanket. And we, there's one key injury that I want to ask him about on the Buffalo side. But yes. It will be a huge test. And it's funny how teams keep giving Jordy Nelson a free release off the line. You saw it again on the big play on Monday night. How would you ever, if I'm a coach, like you look at Mike Zimmer, you look at Bill Belichick, these guys were like, they never, almost ever gave Jordy a free release off the line of scrimmage. And Atlanta let Jordy get off scot-free a bunch of times, and that final time, it finally killed him. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're an NFL defensive coordinator, you have got to instruct your dudes, do not let him get – he must be touched within 5 yards or we're dead.
Here's what I think, though. I think everybody's going to try to take out Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb.
Of course.
And then Devontae Adams is going to have a breakout third half of the season into the playoffs.
Third half of the season. Hmm.
You like how I did that?
Okay, math major. Oh, my goodness.
I was just actually – the reason
you.
That
I knew what you
up,
I knew what you meant.
I had final this whole visualization of you as a coach, and I was like looking at you, and I was like looking at you making like sour faces all the time, and then I was looking at how like you would be like more pissy than Bill Belichick, like when it all said and done, like
hardly.
And if you were doing badly, yes,
hardly.
And then like I was just thinking of like Bart Starr. I just started daydreaming, and then I was thinking, that led me to the third half of the season. It's the second half, but we're in the tertiary part of the season.
Wow, that's some language right there. I like it. Let's go to the defense, shall we?
Let's do it.
Defensive line, Monday night, extremely disappointing. And you have to wonder how much Mike Daniels' surprise back injury played into it, because Mike barely played in the first half. He got a bunch more snaps in the second half, but obviously he was on our program last week. Didn't mention a thing about it, of course, because I didn't ask. But then the next morning, he pops up on the injury report with an injury to his back. And then he was pretty much invisible on Monday night. And he was not alone. Whether it was him, whether it was Guillaume, who actually had one or two plays.
Yeah, he did.
But overall, Julius Peppers. Last week, we were talking about how what a great addition Julius Peppers has been, and then he pulls a total disappearing act against a journeyman, not even a journeyman, a undrafted rookie at tackle. So that was concerning. It was concerning. I mean, I don't think it's a anything to be alarmed about because of the entire defensive game plan seemed to be, all right,
yeah.
It's 31-7. Let's just chill here and just make sure they don't score in one play, although they almost did with the first play of the second half.
Yeah.
But, it was concerning. It was concerning to see. It was, especially after they played.
Well,
they
especially
all played
after
so well.
The last 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
The defensive line has stepped up in a way that I don't think anybody thought, and on run defense as well.
Although I will say, Mike Neal, who kind of flip-flops between defensive line and outside linebacker a little bit, he played well. He was his usual kind of almost get to the quarterback self. He almost had a key sack of Matt Ryan there in the fourth quarter, but his effort was there. And I just want to address something real quick, if I could, about Mike Neal, who appeared on a local television program, I guess Monday night prior to the game, in a recorded segment on WBAY locally, where they have a new feature that they do on this show called Bitter Twitter.
Uh-oh.
And
are you on it every week?
No, not that I know of. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. And they featured one of my tweets, as everyone I know in Wisconsin told me about it.
Ooh, on WBAY?
So, yep.
Wait, so, what? Why didn't you give me that on a disc?
I just remembered it. I literally just remembered it as we were talking, because we talked about Mike Neal. So Mike Neal does this bit.
That should be on
where
right
he
now.
Reads my tweet.
Wow.
But here's the thing.
Does he block you on Twitter?
Yeah, he blocked me a long time
awesome.
Ago. But so here's
he's not
the
blocking you, dude.
But here's the thing. They picked a tweet from 2 summers ago.
What?
Yeah. It's a tweet that says, Mike Neal at outside linebacker was fine until they asked him to drop into coverage. #ugly. That's what it was. So he reads it.
But that's disingenuous.
Thank
though.
You. Right?
That's completely disingenuous.
Right?
That's like, pull out a tweet from 5 years
so
ago.
I've
been
a,
on Twitter since 2007.
So I see this, right? And I did a search.
They did a search
and I'm
on
like,
Mike Neal.
There's a tweet from the Patriots game where I compliment him for doing a great job two-gapping on this run play. Didn't pick that tweet, did we?
That's, well, maybe the interns at
but
WBA,
I will,
here's the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
The interns at WBAY, they don't understand that there's a timestamp on tweets. So they searched Mike Neal.
All
they
I
found
know
your
is,
bitter Twitter.
All I know is BAY. There will be some retribution, my
That's
friends.
That's ridiculous.
Although I will say, to his eternal credit,
the
this is what I wanted to say. This is what I wanted to say. To his eternal credit, Mike Neal was great about it. Like he read, you know how in mean tweets they read the tweet,
yeah.
And they look at the camera and they usually say something like you or something like that, blah, 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 blah. Mike Neal was so good about it. He was like, he said something to the effect of, like, it was my first time playing outside linebacker. What do you expect, Aaron? Like, he was really good. Like, he couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, but that's
about
completely
it.
Taken out of context.
Exactly.
Like don't they have journalistic standards?
I did my
like,
search.
If we did
a
that
search
on this
my
show,
tweets about Mike Neal, and it was like they're almost all complimentary.
If we did that
like
on this show, I would understand. But they have like journalistic.
We're us.
Yeah, they have journalistic standards, and we don't.
No, apparently.
I can't even get us on Google News. I mean, come on. We don't even. You can. Yazoo.com can get on Google News, but She Said TV, no way.
No chance. That's. Anyway, I just wanted to bring. I just thought of Mike Neal. I just wanted to bring it up because literally, right before the game, all of a sudden I got all these tweets from people I know back home. Were like, I just saw you on the news. I was like, what? Well, your tweet. And then my dad Facebooked it. Hope you all saw Aaron's tweet on the news.
Your tweet was famous, bro.
It really was.
Your tweet
dude.
From 2 years
from
ago.
From 2 years ago
was famous in Green Bay.
Oh my god!
For
five seconds.
That's really ridiculous. You should write a letter to the editor.
Screw all that.
No, seriously. Maybe
the station manager.
Maybe the station manager will get on and be like,
two weeks ago.
We apologize.
We apologize
for this segment.
We put on a tweet from 2 weeks ago.
They might do it, dude.
It's just amateurish, man.
That's
it's
really rude. Amateurish.
It's just rude.
I hate to talk crap about a Green Bay media.
That's just
or what?
But that's
like what did your whole gig, dude?
That
All right, let's get back to football. Back to football. Shields, Sam Shields, clearly not himself on Monday night. Clearly, lack of practice time, more than anything else, was the biggest issue. And I know people like to rag on Sam for peeking in the backfield, which your boy Tremont did as well on Monday night.
Tremont almost had an interception, by the way.
He almost did.
Can we please say that? I'm really upset that first. Okay. I didn't say anything, but I don't appreciate you putting him in the bad column without checking with me first. Okay? I typed it, and I'm like, okay, you have editorial discretion.
Yeah, right, I hear you.
I do have veto power, and I didn't veto it. But had he had an interception, he wouldn't have been in the bad. So just put that in your craw, Nagels.
And it's funny because everyone was talking about, and I was tweeting it during the game, how upsetting it was that they weren't adjusting. You go back and you watch the All-22, and it's funny how there are a bunch of plays where he actually does shade the single high safety to Julio Jones's side. A couple of times it's on a running play, so whoops, that doesn't do any good. Like, there's literally one play where Morgan Burnett like hauls ass from the middle of the field over to get on top of Julio Jones and houses in front of him. So they got him bracketed. They're ready to bracket him, and then they run a toss to the other side. It's like total waste. But
speaking of, who has the most tackles in the defense?
I have no idea.
Morgan Burnett.
Well, there you go. Well, they're playing him
almost
down
over 100,
which is not surprising.
Which I was surprised by that, actually.
You look at how much they're playing him in the box. It's not. It's because they're asking HaHa Clinton Dix to be the kind of center fielder. So yeah, Morgan Burnett's coming up and blowing stuff up front. So
I mean, he has either 100 or 101.
He's so much more
ridiculous.
Physical this year, which is great to see.
Probably great because he's more comfortable in the defense.
Yeah, well, you would hope so. Plus, you know, he's being asked to just go up and blow stuff up, which. Hell, you gotta love that. Oh, we should call our guest.
Okay.
It's that time of the night. We're gonna be talking to Tim Graham. Tim Graham of the Buffalo News. Get him on the line, Corey. I'm gonna keep talking because that's what we do here at CheeseheadTV.com. I most certainly will. I'm sure he's gonna go crazy. We're calling Tim Graham.
Hello.
Hi, Tim. It's Aaron Nagler.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. We are live on the air because we are a rinky-dink web operation. We don't have these fancy, you know, producer hold part section things. So welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be on. It's good to come right on. No green room, no warm-up, no nothing. Let's just get right at it.
Just, you know, we come in hot, dude. We come in hot. So let's get down to brass tacks here. What's the status of Mario Williams? I saw he was listed on the injury report. What's going on there?
Well, I wish I could tell you, but the thing about it is, with Mario Williams, you can never tell, because as you may recall, a couple of years ago, and it was one of the things that did Chan Gailey in, he was complaining about a wrist injury and never appearing on the injury report until the point that he went and had surgery and the Bills got fined for not putting him on the injury report, and the Bills didn't think he needed the surgery, and then there was the plantar fasciitis at last year's training camp that Doug Marrone didn't seem to know anything about and created a lot of controversy. So with Mario Williams, you can never tell. But I will say this, when things are going well for him, he generally plays, and that's the way he is, and he's having a great season, and you know, maybe he just doesn't want to have to chase Aaron Rodgers around on Sunday. That's the cynic in me. But, yeah, when it comes to injuries and Mario Williams, it's just always something fishy about it.
Yeah, I hear that. Plus, you know, I think wasn't there an episode this summer? Or was that Darius? Something like he was there but missing and no one knew where he was and Marrone wouldn't talk about it? Or am I imagining that?
No, that was last summer. Doug Marrone's first season, and it was Mario Williams. He had a foot injury, and it was Marrone's first year, and he wasn't really sure what he could say or what he couldn't. And he was citing HIPAA laws because that's what you could do at Syracuse University, but you can't do that in the NFL when you have injury reports. So anyways, good times.
Definitely. All right, well, looking at that defensive front, that defensive line obviously gets tons of pub nationally and deservedly so. You have to think that's obviously the marquee matchup here. That front against the Green Bay offensive line that has been playing lights out for the past month or so. How do you see that matchup going? I know, you know, they got to Manning pretty good last week, and they made Peyton's life a little miserable, but obviously the Broncos were able to do damage on the ground. Do you see something similar happening with Green Bay, or how do you see that shaking up?
Yeah, I think it could be interesting in that regard. I know that TJ Lang and Josh Sitton were both limited. Maybe you can fill me in on that if that's a common thing with them. But I know that they've been playing great, and they're among the best offensive linemen in the NFL. And, you know, right there up the middle, and the center position, too, for Green Bay has been really strong. But, you know, the thing that was weird about Sunday's game against Denver is that the Bills didn't even get a quarterback hit on Peyton Manning, let alone a sack. But the defensive front was still a presence, and it forced Manning to take a lot of short drops, didn't have a lot of time to let some plays develop down the field. And that's why he, for the first time in 52 games, didn't throw a touchdown pass and had his worst quarterback rating in 6 years. So, yeah, the Bills can do that. And they lead the NFL in quarterback rating against. And they do a lot of things well. They're fantastic on third down. They're good against the run. They're good against the pass. And they lead the NFL in sacks. And they have three guys with at least 9.5. And it's impressive to watch on a week-to-week basis.
Have you been surprised, speaking of the defense, how, I guess I'll just, you know, say well they've played with Jim Schwartz as defensive coordinator, a guy who obviously has had success as a coordinator for many years in the league, but, you know, going over to Buffalo, I really questioned how he would be you know, received and how they would respond to him, and it really looks like they've taken to him.
No, I would agree with that, and I think that really where that, let's dial it back even a year, and the Bills had for a decade fielded a terrible defense, and especially against the run, and they didn't really do much in terms of turnovers with the exception of Jarris Byrd, and they didn't really get after quarterbacks that well. And then Mike Pettine comes in, and things were so dramatically different that when Pettine left, you got the impression of, boy, can they really recapture that? Because Pettine was, you know, he just brought in a different dynamic. And to be able to stay to that standard, I think a lot of people just assumed that the Bills wouldn't be able to do it. Not only have they remained that good in terms of sacks, well, they set the record, the club record for sacks last year. And let's not forget that this is a team that used to have Bruce Smith on the roster. and they set the record last year, and they're on pace to obliterate it this year. So they not only maintained that level that they had under Pettine, they got better, and they've also gotten better at the things that they were a little suspect at, including stopping the run and giving up the big play. And so that's something that really Bills fans haven't been used to. And if you take a look at the point differential, the Bills, even with Pettine as the defensive coordinator, they were prone to the occasional blowout. This year, when they lose, they don't lose badly. Even against the Denver Broncos, they only lose by 7. Yes, it was a backdoor cover, but they are not getting embarrassed like they used to on a defensive from a defensive standpoint. And that's where I think the frustrations build up, not only among the players, but fans and everybody else, is that the offense has been less than pedestrian, and for a second straight season, you're looking at a team that is wasting great defensive performances on a weekly basis. And, you know, who knows when Kyle Williams is going to start falling apart, or when they might start losing guys to free agency, somebody like Jerry Hughes, whose contract is up, or an injury is going to cost somebody like Amario Williams, or, you know, somebody like Aaron Williams. Or Stephon Gilmore. You never know when you're going to have all these guys together and playing this well. It's usually a small window. And to have these performances on a weekly basis and the offense unable to hold up its end of the bargain has been maddening.
Well, speaking of the offense, and it's funny, you say exact, you know, it's you see this a lot in the NFL where you hire an offensive-minded coach and all of a sudden, the other side of the ball is the strength. I mean, we've seen that a couple of times now in the recent history of the league. You look at the offensive side, and I have to admit, I had not watched a whole lot of you know, the Buffalo Bills until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, because I knew, you know, Packers would be playing them. And, you know, from basically that Miami game on, they are just impossibly difficult to watch on the offensive side of the ball.
Except when they're playing the New York Jets.
Yeah, well, yeah. Obviously. Do you think Orton can be effective enough this Sunday to make this a game. Clearly, the Packers had their issues with Julio Jones, Sammy Watkins. They got Woods, and those are some quality receivers. I think the talent is there to do some damage if Orton can make the throws. I just wonder if he can do it.
Maybe. The Packers, as you guys know, play a lot closer games on the road than they do at home. And the Bills defense is the type of team that can keep a game close, but really where the team has started to struggle, and it's kind of strange to think about it, but when C.J. Spiller got hurt, even though C.J. Spiller has had a really disappointing season, it seems as though the offense stopped being unpredictable enough for defense to stay off balance. And Fred Jackson maybe is losing a step. Fans in Buffalo hate to hear that because he's so revered around here. But
He's just an awesome player.
He's the oldest running back in the NFL, and he's had a groin injury, and he seems to have a knee or an ankle or something. And he's not hitting the hole like he used to. And Anthony Dixon is a between the tackles, a gritty runner, but isn't the type of guy that can be a workhorse and carry a ground game. And they really don't have when Fred Jackson is not healthy, they really don't have that out of the backfield receiving threat either. And that's the thing that C.J. Spiller brought to the table. Now, Fred Jackson, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think he had 10 catches for 37 yards or something like that last week. So yeah, he'll catch the ball and he'll be great for your fantasy team, but he's not going to help you win the game. And that's really where I think the Bills have suffered, because a defense can line up, tell the Bills to go ahead and run the ball against us. We don't care. We're going to take away Sammy Watkins. We're going to double cover him. We're going to put our best corner on him and maybe even give him a little help. And go ahead and throw to Robert Woods on the underneath stuff and occasionally hit the tight end Scott Chandler or Chris Hogan. And go ahead and see what you can do. And so what happens is the Bills maintain possession for a long period of time. They move the ball, they get three or four first downs, and then they have to punt or kick a field goal, and then the other team drives down and scores touchdowns. And that's been the problem for the last probably 2 months, except when they play the New York Jets.
Well, they just need to schedule the Jets more, clearly. All right, so you're looking at this game. Buffalo has been a house of horrors for the Packers. Clearly, they've never won there. I've been in the house twice when they've lost, and it sucks, let me tell you. I hate being up there. I hate being up there when they lose.
Are you guys superstitious?
I'm not at all.
No.
But the fact that they've never won there, that just really blows.
I mean, all Packer fans are.
The Packer fans very much are. I will say, the last time I was there, a buddy and I got out of the car in the parking lot, Packer stuff on and whatever. We were not out of the car for a minute, and a guy walked up to us and said, verbatim, "Don't go in the bathrooms. They'll kill you." That was it. That was our welcome to Buffalo moment. So what do you?
So he had to do like fans in any stadium and just went right in the seat.
Pretty much. So breaking it down, tough place to play. Got to think it's the toughest test this Packers offense will have the rest of the year. What's your prediction for the game?
Oh, I wish I would have thought of that before you called me. I don't know. I like the Packers to win the game. Help me out with the spread. What's the spread?
Oh, you know what? I don't even know. I have no clue.
That's how I always kind of get out of that question, because occasionally I can say, I'll take the Bills and the points, but I don't know how many they're getting. I like the Bills to keep it close, and if they can keep it close, they remain dangerous. I hate to throw out a cliche like that or dodge the question,
but it's true.
The Packers are clearly the better team, and Rodgers is clearly much... The Packers' offense is better than the Bills' defense, if that makes any kind of sense. And I think the Packers have a really respectable defense against the Bills' really disappointing offense. So I think this, unless there's a crazy play or the bad bounce or the weird officiating call, then I think that the Packers win this game with no problem. But I will say this, you mentioned Packers fans being superstitious. You got a Bills fan base that is convinced that the officials are out to get them, and the NFL does not want the Bills to win. So this could be the immovable object going up against the irresistible force.
Nice, yes. The Packers having never won in Buffalo versus the refs handing the opponents the game. I like it. I like it. All right, Tim, you are a scholar and a gentleman. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No, thanks for having me on. I'm flattered that you'd even asked to have me. And anytime, I look forward to the next one.
Awesome. Have a great night, man.
All right, take care.
Tim Graham, the Buffalo News, breaking it down for you, covering the Buffalo Bills. You can follow him on Twitter. He's fantastic, at Tim Graham. Just great stuff. What do you think, Corey? What's your prediction for the game, buddy?
You're stepping on my mouse. You're stepping on my mouse. There you go. My prediction for the game is 49-7.
All right. I'll say 27-17 pack. That sound good? That work?
Wait, you're not picking the Bills?
No, sir. Nope.
Are you ever going to pick the opposing team the rest of the season?
You can just find out.
No, I don't want to find out.
We'll
I want
see.
You to make.
We'll see
I want
we
you
get
to
there.
Make a rigid comment.
Nope. Not going to happen. This isn't Bleacher Report.
Okay, speaking of Bleacher Report.
Oh, no.
Okay, remember when you put on Twitter that I said on this show that real fans don't play fantasy?
Yes, I do. Okay. Actually, I made a YouTube video of it and put it up there,
no,
too.
You didn't. You just highlighted the show.
Right. Wait, what?
What?
No, I made a YouTube video.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Today, Bleacher Report, your old stomping ground, decided to put an article that, like, fantasy fans are so upset because Aaron Rodgers kneeled at the end of the game. Really? Really? That's what we're talking about?
Apparently.
We're not talking about football anymore. We're talking about a human being affecting the virtual standings of some losers. Okay? So go back to my previous episode. And that is evidence B. Camera's on you, dude.
Love it. I know. I saw on my monitor. I think it's that time. That time, dude.
Just wait. Justin's saying, So you're saying I shouldn't go to the bathroom at the Ralph with my Rodgers jersey on?
Hell no,
okay,
son.
Here's the thing.
Let me tell you. Let me break this down for you. Okay. The Eagles, the Jets, these fan bases, they get all the pub. But let me tell you, the Bills. At the Ralph, just as bad, if not worse.
Dude.
Like, they are awful.
Rule number one.
Awful human beings.
Doesn't matter what stadium you are at. If it is not Lambeau Field, okay?
Don't
Do not go to the bathroom by yourself.
No, sir.
Have a buddy.
Use the buddy system.
Have two buddies.
At least.
Because you really need a watch out and a buddy. Because you need the
you need
time.
The lookout and the bodyguard.
By the time the lookout gets help, you might be dead.
You might be dead.
And the buddy might be getting the help.
Nope. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad news bears.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's the return of This Week in the Packers Blogosphere. That venerable series is back for another week, Corey. So this week, we thought we'd highlight a little something-something on that old show over there at ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN whatever the hell it is this week. The Aaron Rodgers Show featured a question. You know, they have that segment, Ask Aaron, hashtag Ask Aaron, where Jason Wilde solicits questions from the listeners to be asked to QB1. And one question in particular caught our ear.
Aaron says, when Mike calls a shot play, how hard is it to stay calm when you look pre-snap and you know it's going to work?
That's a really good question.
Yeah. Is it a really good question, Aaron?
You have to do a couple things to not allow yourself to get too hyped up about it. One is you have to still go through your progression. Even if you know you got them wide open, there's no point in not just checking the backside safety or the backside corner where he's at. And that's why I'm thankful last night for being coached and continue to be coached, because you know there's just little things you remember right at the end of of a thought there before you throw it that can help you. And right before I let that go, I knew pre-snap I was going
to
probably have Jordy there. But
I'm trying to point something out here. I asked a question, hashtag ask Aaron, to Mr. Wilde, and he asked it. And Aaron says, and then we get a little, that's a really good question. Well, Jason, could you let the QB know who's asking the question?
To his credit, okay? I'm going to defend Jason Wilde. I know he thinks that I've never done this in my life, but anytime he brings up someone's name, like when he's like, Wes has a question, Aaron always goes, oh, is that Wes that's in the locker room? And then he doesn't answer the question. Or he'll be like, Rob has a question. It'll be Rob Domofsky.
Yeah, right.
And then he'll be like, oh, that's Rob Domofsky? No, I won't answer that. And he literally will say, I won't answer that. So,
wait, see, wait. Here's my theory.
Considering
on that,
the fact
he
that
he does that because he knows they have locker room access. And if they want to ask Aaron a freaking question, they can walk up to his locker and ask him during his availability. I don't have this ability. A, I don't have credentials. So even when I am in Green Bay, I'm not allowed in the freaking locker room. And then B, I don't have credentials, and I don't live in Green Bay. So I finally get my chance to ask Aaron a freaking question. I've missed the guy three times this year. Could have been my first time meeting QB1, but no, I missed my 5 minutes three times. And I can't even get a little shout-out. Can't even get a little love.
I wish I could feel sorry for you, but I don't, because I'm drinking
I'm not asking for anyone to feel sorry for me. That's a good idea.
So even though you don't get credentialed in Green Bay, you get beer from Green Bay.
That's true. That's true. What's funny is I will get credentialed in Green Bay if the NFC Championship game is in Lambeau. So I'm praying that happens.
What about the playoff game in Lambeau?
See, the divisional round? No. Well, actually, I probably could now. Jason would probably do it. But back in the day, I couldn't, and it pissed me off. So I'm fierce. But the NFL handles the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
I just want to say the reason that there's no Ask Vic, Bash Vic.
Yeah.
Is because I feel like I've reached the second level of Inception, and at the same time, I'm fighting against trying to popularize Ask Vic. Do you ever get that feeling?
I hear you do.
Where you're like, I hate this so much.
People are trying to go to Ask Vic to find out what Corey is going to be upset about.
And that means more people
means
are
more
going
people
to
are
Ask
reading
Vic.
Ask Vic.
So I realize
you're serving as his PR firm.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it's not because I'm lazy, because I am, but that's not why. Currently, for this
not
because
I'm lazy, because I am.
but yeah, that's my issue.
That is hardcore right there. I love it.
I just people really look. There are some diehards of the diehards, right? That look forward to that segment, and I feel bad.
Oh, I know, dude.
So
I hear about it all week. I want to go back to that onion jam, man.
Oh, onion jam. It's so good. No. Okay. Everybody buy Stonewall Kitchen roasted garlic onion jam. Then I urge you, get your great aunt, if you have a great aunt Gert, I guarantee you, because I haven't tried my great aunt Gert's onion jam. Right. I didn't even know. I guarantee you she has not one, but two different recipes for it.
Of course.
Never been asked. It's one of those hidden gems. It's like, did you realize, speaking of Aaron Rodgers' show, did you realize Aaron Rodgers, crazy sheephead player, Jason Wilde's lived in Wisconsin for how long? Doesn't know how to play sheephead. And then I realized, I called him out for it on Twitter, and I'm like, well, one of the reasons is he might not have a great aunt Gert. He doesn't, in Wisconsin. Right. He might have one, but they might live somewhere else.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a great-great-grandma Bruner or a great-great-grandma Sauer to teach him sheephead.
Possibly. He's never seen Star Wars either, so.
Wait, what?
Nope. Not a lick. Not one frame.
Not even the prequels?
Nope. Nothing. Nada. He's never seen a single Star Wars film.
I don't know
who
he is anymore.
I know, right? It's kind of crazy. Well, we ready to shut it down? Because that's all I got. I fired all my bullets. I'm done. I'm done. We ready?
Sure.
Yeah. Unless anyone's got anything on the live chat. Anybody? Anybody got anything? I'll wait for the delay. Otherwise, I'm going to clear my throat.
No, everybody's saying that we should get credentialed. Everybody's supporting us.
Well, that's great. But
to say we get your, maybe Jason Wallers is watching the show.
No, he's not watching the show.
He's watching it tomorrow morning.
He'll watch when a certain guest comes on.
So. Yeah, I keep hearing about this certain guest.
I know. We'll see. He promised me, so we'll see.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see. Oh, and I did want to. There was one other thing I had to do. We're getting close here. We're a couple weeks away from Christmas, and I just wanted to say, This is the best time of the year, and I hope everyone's enjoying the next couple weeks with their loved ones, people who are far away from them, people who are near them. You know, take this time, soak it up, because before you know it, the Super Bowl is going to come and go. You're going to look back, and it's going to be like March, and you're going to have this long slog.
You're going to be missing
spring.
Football.
You're going to be missing football. Christmas will have flown by, and it's like, oh, wait a second. That was the best time of the year. We are right now in the best time of the year.
It's true.
Like, hands down. So enjoy it, people. Savor every day. Soak it all in. Attack it every day. It's great to be alive. It's a great moment in history of life every year between December 1st and the Super Bowl. Bring it on.
And, Alan, you need to put some onion jam on that venison jerky, by the way.
Do it. All right, we ready? That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank Tim Graham, who, by the way, can be reached at Twitter at @bytimgraham, BYTIMGRAHM. For stopping by, everyone who joined us on the live chat, you guys are the reason we do this. Thank you so much. Packer fans everywhere worldwide, the tweets keep coming in about where people watch or listen to the show. It is mind-blowing. Truly a worldwide audience. We love you all. Thank you so much. Cheesehead TV is and will always be dedicated to Green Bay Packers fans around the world. Thank you so much. Go Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.